Welcome to our kind of final year-end wrap-up edition of Sharing Socks. I am Southside Sox duty geezer Lee Allen. With me, my son and West Coast correspondent Will, who has the Happy Holidays White Sox. I don't know what they are, puffy guys behind him.
Snowmen,
Well, I know they're
snowmen.
snowmen, but I thought
Puffy
I
guys.
well. Pillsbury Doughboy comes to mind with
What could
Christmas
they
food, so.
possibly be?
So we're doing it. We're going to start. There are things to talk about. There's obviously not much of anything happening in baseball. There's literally nothing happening in baseball since the lockout. We're recording this on the 15th, so it's been 2 weeks since lockout. The death of Roland Heymann, which is a
Well,
sad thing, but he was 19.
to be fair, there's like three minor league deals that are in the
Yeah.
works.
That's true.
So we should keep an
Minor
eye on
league
that.
deals aren't happening. Roland Heymann died, perhaps the most important person in White Sox history because he did the brilliant job of saving the team after 1970, getting Dick Allen, among other things, and turning them into a good team, a very good team. Again, Chuck Tanner to manage and so forth. When they had, in 1970, they were a disaster and headed to any town, and not just Tampa or Seattle. I mean, if somebody in Southwest Louisiana had made an offer of a stadium, they would have been headed down there, and he saved it. Everybody speaks very well of people who die, of course, no matter what kind of jerks they were. But Heyman had people speaking wonderful things about him while he was alive. Apparently, not just a brilliant baseball guy, but a really, really good person. And he lived to be 92, so he had a lot of time to be a good person. So that it's a sad thing, but not too sad at 92. I mean,
92 done pretty well.
time has come. So that was really the big news of the past couple of weeks as far as the White Sox are concerned. So we're baseball in general. We're
There
just going
is
to do
a
we're going to do some
great
Christmas wish stuff.
there's a great Seinfeld moment where one of the Seinfeld's friends, the parents' friends, has died at age 95, and everybody's so upset and is acting like the guy didn't live a good life. And Jerry's like, he was 95, you guys. And Kramer just goes, yeah, really makes you think. I'm like, he did all right. He did all right. But yes, we're on to our Christmas wish lists for this upcoming season. I have no clue what your wish list is. You have no clue what
My
my
wish
wish
is
list
compiled
is.
into one big mess. You said make three wishes, but I have within one storyline a sequence of wishes. And I've done a little bit of this in print on one of Brett's let's all get together and toss something into the hat things, but not the whole thing. And that was a while back. So why don't you start out?
So
All
you're
right, because
going
mine's
for,
long. Mine's long.
okay, so you're going for like getting the basketball hoop for Christmas instead of getting, a new shirt and a toy truck and an ornament. You're going like, I want one big present that just has a lot of great things about it. Whereas I think I'm going for, let's get as many little presents as we can
Okay. All
in the
right.
upcoming year. So we got two totally different styles of Christmas wants. I think both very valid. I have done both through my life as a gift receiver. As a once I was a child, I think maybe you were too, though. It's hard to believe at this
While
point.
back, yeah.
So first on my list, all this talk about needing an infielder, needing a second baseman, needing a utility guy. I mean, there is a guy who won a gold glove just a couple years ago. He's familiar with the franchise. The people love him. He has fist bumped me multiple times, including at my bachelor party. Number one thing on my list, I want Yolmer back.
I knew where that was heading immediately.
I want Yolmer back. Everybody's acting like it's a big mystery who we can get. Guys, he's right there. Everyone loves him. He's a hit on social media. He seems to have tons of friends. I'm sure there are people who still have Yolmer jerseys, the three fans of his from back in the day when he was on the White Sox. So it's really just a great decision for everyone across the board to get Yolmer back. What do you think about my first wish?
I'm, as you know, I'm a huge Yulmer fan and always have been. I think probably were they to get him, you, first of all, the salary would not be very high. But
True.
secondly, probably the Gatorade people would be willing to defray most of that cost.
Why is that?
Because he's the one who dumps Gatorade over people whenever there's something good
That's
happens.
true. He does do that, or a little pie to the face sometimes for the pitchers.
But the pie people, there's no money. But Gatorade, there's money.
So for the record, just because this is, we do keep this as a record, we record this. You are in 100% agreement that the White Sox sole free agency move after the lockout is to sign Yolmer Sanchez?
I'm not sure about soul. Critical. I would go with critical.
Okay, cool. My second wish. I want a new song from Yoan Moncada. I loved
I think you
Desastre.
get this one. I think you get this one.
I think I will too. I think I will too. Desastre Personnel, great song. The most baller move ever to write your own walk-up song and then actually use it during the season, regardless of whether or not it's good and how much your friends are going to make fun of you and if they're going to dress up like you did in your music video. But I think we need another banger from Yoan Moncada. It could be something like, I've got my legs back, because he's still not all the way back from COVID. Or it can be like 40 pounds of gold around my neck, because he has been sporting an absurd amount of gold necklace wear and diamonds.
Yeah,
I don't
I
care
don't think
what it
anybody's
is.
done a study of how many times he got thrown out on very close plays that he would have been, half a second faster if he didn't weigh 20 pounds extra.
The whole White Sox organization needs to look at how the players are being weighted down by their gold chains. And you're joking, but it's starting to get absurd. There are definitely moments now where I watch a replay and I think that would have gone better if the guy didn't have 80 chains on. I don't know why the White Sox seem to be most lenient in terms of what you can wear on the field, or having no buttons buttoned on your jersey these days. But I'm thrilled. It's hilarious and ridiculous. And the idea of me having played high school baseball with all these massive chains is so funny. And I can't believe I didn't do it. Not even the Jock Peterson pearl necklace thing, which I should have done. My final thing. I want Jose Abreu to come out totally clean shaven this year. I want the little beard with the twisties gone. I want all the scruff gone. I want like nice haircut. I want to see, we always talk about Jose Abreu and his mom and Jose Abreu and his grandmother. I want to see the clean cut Jose that grandma wants to see on Easter Sunday. That's what I want. Jose has been gradually, as he's gotten better at baseball, he's been still pretty solid, but he is like, with the helmet that's gross, and he's always got the dip and the twisted up beard, and it's not an impressive beard to begin with. He's not rocking the Luis Robert
Well,
over there.
the White Sox as a team, they have some very impressive beards, obviously, Dallas Keuchel leading the way on that. But
True.
there are a lot of pretty damn scrawny facial hair demonstrations on the White Sox.
Yeah, I mean, it's true across all of Major League Baseball, because you get to the show and you think, okay, I was a boy amongst men, and now I am a man amongst men. So I'm going to grow great facial hair like some of my teammates. Well, a lot of these guys are actually just on the outside end of puberty, so they are not really filling in these splotches and the scraggliness. Who can grow a great beard now, though, is Yolmer, and yet another reason why we should get him back on the team. He's looking sharp with facial hair. But I just want to see baby-faced, crisp, clean Jose Abreu stepping up to the plate, just all American boy, even though he's Cuban, but like all Cuban American boy. And I just want to see what that does for this team and for, his leadership position. We haven't seen a real good, clean-looking Jose Abreu in years. I would like to see it, even for just one game. Just one game, and then start growing it back out again. But I think Jason's jaw will drop if you see a crisp. We'd get some Brill cream in his hair, get it all slicked back. You know, they unbutton the shirt so much now, maybe he could even have a tie, a necktie of some sort. If you can have gold chains, I don't see why he can't be wearing a tie and a nice button down underneath his jersey. It would just be a nice new look heading into 2022, clean slate.
Well, he's probably on his way to becoming a general manager somewhere, so it could be kind of an audition for that.
That's true. That is absolutely true. It'll give a lot of front office people an idea of what he'll look like when he shows up to winter meetings. So those are my three wishes. I want Yolmer. I want another banger from Yuan Moncada. And I want to see the sleekest, suavest, handsomest version of Jose Abreu we can possibly get.
If he won't do it, you are a movie producer now. You can Photoshop him around down to that.
No, but what I can do is create a fake movie about baseball players, audition Jose, and have him say at the end of his audition whether or not he's willing to shave like we do here in Los Angeles. And he'll say yes, because who doesn't want to be in the movie? And I'll say, let's see another tape, but without the beard. There he is, clean shaven right there. I don't have to give him the role. He doesn't even ever have to find out it wasn't a real movie. I'm not saying it's a brilliant plan, but it's a plan.
All right.
So what do you got? Yeah, let's hear it.
Hey, this is all Christmas wishes rolled into one. It's actually more than three when you get there. But we start out with.
So that's a greedy move just from the start.
Well, no, because you could call them whatever they are to fold together into one. But,
okay,
we start out. It's Christmas party time. The Hall of Famer baseball person goes to a Christmas party in Walnut Hills, not far from where he lives in Alamo, California. As apparently he occasionally does, he's had a few drinks, leaves the place, heads out, falls asleep in an intersection in his car, as he apparently likes to do. Cop pulls up behind him, flashing lights, sirens, scares the hell out of him, doesn't know what's going on, hits the gas, jolts, rams into a fire hydrant, water spewing all over the place. Not only does he get charged with DUI, but with waste of water, which is like a felony in California. So he faces these charges. They drag him off to the police station. As it happens, there's a reporter at the police station because he's doing this cute little Christmas feature on cops and Christmas cookies. And he sees the Hall of Famer baseball person, who's of course very famous, gets his story, says, this is my chance to make the big time and not write for the Walnut Hills paper anymore, but get San Francisco or Washington or New York or Chicago. And so he posts this story. It gets on the Associated Press. It goes nationwide. Oh, there's hell to pay, because this was supposed to be the third strike and he's out. But Jerry Reinsdorf says, no, he is my friend who we fired back in '03 of century 14. And we cannot do this to him. I refuse to do it. So finally, because you know what happened? Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn, they had their Christmas stockings up. And you know what they got as presents from Santa? Manhood. So they say, we'll quit if you don't get rid of this guy. And Jerry says, oh, I don't care. So all the coaching staff goes, we're going to quit too. All the office staff says, we're going to quit too. This has gone too far. Jerry says, no, I don't care. You can all leave. I'll replace you with anything that I can find on the street. This has got to keep my buddy, my fellow arrogant jerk. But then Mothers Against Drug Driving and Students Against Drug Driving start doing protests at Jerry's house, which is in Highland Park. Neighbors in Highland Park are not going to like this because it messes with traffic, something fierce. So the neighbors are going, Jerry, either he goes or you got to go, because we can't have this happening around here. So Jerry finally says, I can't do it. I can't fire him. But along comes the guy who really saves him, Barack Obama. And Obama puts together a team of people to buy the White Sox from Jerry. He says, we'll buy it. You'll get your money. We'll give you a little overage to cover the taxes you don't want your kids to pay. And this team that he puts together, he gets a bunch of really famous White Sox fans, because Michael Jordan, a lot of money with Michael Jordan. Chance the Rapper.
A lot of money.
And then for other music, because you can't just have, do you know Dennis DeYoung of Styx is a huge White Sox fan? So they get that in on that side. Jim Gaffigan, huge White Sox fan. Gaffigan says, not only will I put money into buying the team, but if we get this, I will do an entire HBO special about the concessions at the GERF. They go, wow, that's wonderful. George Wendt, huge White Sox fan. Wendt will eat every concession at the GERF in one special, one round of the place. Plus, they agree that they will, when available, doesn't cut into their schedules, replace Gordon Beckham on the TV and post and pre and even during the game thing to get rid of Beckham forever. I mean, there's a Christmas wish for you. So they do that. Jenny McCarthy, huge White Sox fan, agrees to do the White Sox calendar.
I don't think you want that. Keep going, but I think she's got a reputation now.
George Lopez, to add some more humor, and of course we're broadening our demographics here, brings in, and he's kind of a family-related guy, so we bring in family stuff for Sox Park. Still not enough money. $1.6, $1.7 billion they got to come up with. These guys are rich. They're not that rich. So Obama goes and talks to a friend of his who is a huge baseball fan and who used to own a minor league team, used to own the Omaha franchise for 20, 30 years, Warren Buffett. Now, Buffett is not necessarily a White Sox fan, but he's a huge baseball fan. He's 91 years old. So, I mean, he saw Roland Heeman died at 92. He wants to get involved before it's too late. So Buffett puts up the money, because not only do they need the $1.6 billion, they need money to actually get free agents and do contracts properly and that kind of thing and compete instead of being kind of half-assed like they're a small market team. So Buffett comes in. He goes over to Reinsdorf. And, of course, Buffett can say this legitimately. He says, son, I think it's time you sold the team. So he convinces him. So this whole outfit ends up buying the team. They start going, well, what are we going to do? Everybody else, of course, all the employees agree they'll come back with this new purchase of the team by the Buffett Obama conglomerate. But they need a manager. Buffett says, you know, I've always been partial to cash. I always like to keep a lot of cash. I've got a few billion dollars right now in cash. And people go, cash? There's a thought. So they talk to Kevin Cash. Now, of course, he's under contract to Tampa Bay, but Tampa Bay will trade anybody who's got a contract over $500,000. So they make some trades, trade some of our younger, really not that important people to Tampa Bay for Kevin Cash. And that becomes our new manager. The team is set. The only loser here really is Bob Nightingale, who no longer has his source of information, so he can pretend well, he knows what's going on with the White Sox. But there you go. It's all solved.
Let's take a quick break on sharing Sox, and we will come back and dissect that wish. Felt a little greedy, I will say. Maybe unrealistic, but we will be right back on sharing Sox.
Realistic?
All right, welcome back. Okay, so the first thing I want to say is thank you for that wish, because now my wish of having Yolmer back on the team seems pretty realistic. I feel pretty good about it. I feel like there's a much better chance of Yolmer being on the White Sox next year than there is of any of that. Okay, so your whole wish hinges on, and I listened carefully, a reporter from a Walnut Hill paper who wants to make it to the top. That is the key person in this story who can.
That's realistic too, incidentally. That's very realistic.
I think
the paper is the East Bay Times.
The East Bay Times. So if anyone from the East Bay Times listens to this podcast, You let us know, because we have a Christmas wish we need your help with. This all seems like it could work. This wish could come true. I don't know that Gaffigan has baseball money. I just don't know.
No, I know. I think the celebrities are more there for what they can loan in publicity and helping the team along. Now, obviously, the money, the huge money, well, Jordan has huge money, but not maybe huge enough.
You just need Buffett.
It's pocket change, Buffett.
I've got to go. I got to give you one more alternative using a Sox fan to help you get that money without dealing with Buffett. Because I think dealing with billionaires, more billionaires, it's just messy. There's a lot of opposition to billionaires right now. However.
But everybody loves, if anybody loves billionaires, he's the billionaire that's loved.
It's true. But, you know, American dream, let's make the money. Let's earn the money. Let's not just ask Warren Buffett for money. That's far-fetched anyway. In fact, it's the only part of your wish that I think won't happen. So, Aaron Paul, Jesse Pinkman from Breaking Bad, White Sox fan. I was at a game a couple years ago. He was there. They gave him a shout out. Well, what does he know how to do?
Cook meth.
And I can assure you there's money in meth in the United States. So if we can just get the White Sox, particularly guys we already have, Hahn, Williams, Reinsdorf, cooking meth. And selling meth to, you don't even have to limit yourself to Chicago because you go on these road trips. You could essentially be the entire distributor for the United States of methamphetamine. Well, now you're talking about some serious dough. When your franchise is the prime meth distributor in the United States of America, you can get Max Scherzer.
There seems to be, to me, that there might be some negatives to this plan. They don't come to mind right away. It's not a performance enhancing drug, so it wouldn't be illegal by baseball standards.
Some people would say that their performances of any kind are quite enhanced while on that drug. All right, fine. Don't become a cartel is what you're saying, which I only sort of agree with, but yeah, other than that, I think that's a pretty good wish. I like the teamwork involved in making that happen for us. But I think you're going to run into trouble because you go to Buffett, you get all this money from a Nebraska boy. Well, the Cubs, one of the Ricketts, governor of Nebraska, they just go to their Nebraska connection for more money. And, you know, they'll outspend us every time. And they got Stroman.
I think that's immaterial. They're in the National League. We don't care.
That's true. That's a really good point. All right. So moving forward, 2022, we've expressed our wishes. I will admit begrudgingly that none of them seem like they will come true or are likely to come true outside of Yoan Moncada. I don't think we're ever going to see Jose Abreu
with a clean helmet
ever again. I think he is committed to the dirty helmet look. Moncada, we're pretty much guaranteed a follow-up to Disaster.
And possibly an album.
In fact, for all we know, that was the first single off his debut album. Which would be called most likely Yoan Moncada number 10 because he really loves wearing that on him at all times. He's very fond of that concept of himself. So I could see a self-titled debut album coming from Yoan in 2022. What are your thoughts as we are a few weeks into this lockout? Has anything changed for you in terms of what you think will happen? Just no movement, it seems like, whatsoever. It doesn't feel like they're going to address this until 2022.
The guesses I've seen are maybe late January they'll resolve something somewhere. Actually, you know, back to a Christmas unwish, because it's a wish for a lot of other teams. They have talked a little bit. I mean, they've spin less loose. I don't think this is going to happen at all, about realignment. And, you know, realignment from a Sox fan perspective is very bad, but from the perspective of baseball, it's very good. It's crazy. You've got the four teams you've got in the American League East, and then you've got the White Sox and four people who don't care in the Central.
But the argument for realignment doesn't have anything, technically have anything to do with who's good and who's not, right? We're not realigning based on quality.
Well, the one realignment that they're talking about, I guess with some actual discussion, was because of the playoff thing where instead of having five teams from each league, they're going to be 20, which is a problem because there are only 15 teams, but some teams will get to be in the playoffs twice. No, with the seven playoff thing that the owners have put out there, and then the players said something about making it two divisions instead of three to lead to six playoff teams. So you'd have an 8-7 and an 8-7. I think there was also talk of a more balanced schedule, which, I mean, poor Baltimore. And they're not really trying, but they play 76 games. Against Toronto, Boston, Tampa Bay, and New York. My goodness.
It's true. I mean, I get it, but you can't – I think realigning as any attempt to level competition is tricky, especially in baseball, where you don't necessarily – obviously, we know Baltimore is coming in the basement of the AL East. But it's often unpredictable. I think it's way more important to solve the rebuild problem in other ways than it is to put this Band-Aid over it.
Oh, I agree with that. In fact, I have a whole setup plan on how to, instead of it, to have a salary floor without having a salary floor. And I mean, I'm going to write about that, I think, in the next week or so, where the money would go into a pot that you could get back if you're good. So you're not penalizing Tampa Bay and Oakland. If you can have low salaries and be really good, more power to you. You've accomplished something. It doesn't happen very often except those two teams. And sometimes people get lucky. But for the most part, it's those two teams. And so I think if you win X number of games over this, more than 70, you get this, more than 81, you get this back, that would solve that problem because they always win that many games and they wouldn't get punished. And all these teams that have $40 million payrolls and win 50 games would take it in a year. And I also, I'll throw it out there, my proposal is that the pot, what's left in it, will get spread among all minor leaguers. There's a Christmas thing.
That's a really nice idea. I mean, we have gotten some news that minor leaguers are going to be a little better taken care of in the upcoming season. You get housing. Seems like enough money for some food. And I think transportation is covered a bit better than it has been previously as well. It's still not great, but at least these guys are going to have a place to sleep, unlike the Orioles guys who slept in their cars earlier this year. But I love the idea of a nice Christmas bonus for the minor league players who it's a grueling job being a minor league baseball player, especially if you're not a great one who's already got that big signing bonus. So
because we were in Dayton when the Dayton Dragons were created back in 2000. And so I interviewed several of the players, particularly the Dominican players, Hispanic players, but mostly Dominicans, about their living stuff. And they live 4 to 6 in an apartment just to get by. They're pretty cheery guys anyway, but it's rough. And they were out, the Dragons were out, and I think other minor league teams do this as well, asking for members of the community to allow somebody to live in their house or apartment. And that happened. That happened with numerous players.
I had a friend in high school who had a dragon living in his basement, who had a Dayton dragon that they didn't know.
That's a nice phrase, a dragon living in his basement. It's from Monsters, Inc.
He said it was like an adopt a dragon program. And
Yes, I think it was that, yeah.
they just this had this guy living in the basement, and he would go to his games and come home, and that's really all it was. But hopefully, you know, that's not a terrible scenario, but if you're a professional at anything, you shouldn't be having to be adopted by a community member in order to have a place to sleep at night. So at least it looks like that's going to be a little better. Do you have anything else as we head into at the end of the year here?
No, I think a little happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I don't think we're going to do another show until the far-flung future of 2022, when we hope we hear something more happening as far as the lockout is concerned. But yeah, best holiday wishes for everybody out there, whatever your holiday happens to be.
Yes, everyone travel safe. You know, watch the other sports. I hear there are some others other than baseball people can enjoy this holiday season. And hopefully when we come back to you in 2022, we will have great news from the biggest Christmas gift of all, which is some sort of deal that gets us a 2022 baseball season on time. I don't anticipate that happening, but we can all dream. But thank you all for continuing to listen to Sharing Socks in 2021. I know we brought you some delightfully brilliant takes along with some delightfully horrific takes. Hopefully you enjoyed both sides, either agreeing with us or yelling at us. But have a wonderful, safe, happy, healthy new year, and we will see you in 2022 on Sharing Socks.